Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. Not in studio with me is Lisa Murphy. She's in Florida. How you doing?
I am awesome because it's not snowing.
not snowing is probably a good thing.
It is. I've gotten quite spoiled coming down here so much nowadays. And apparently when I left, not that anybody cares about this, but I did that quick math when I got to the airport, like, okay, is it going to be worth it to pay, you know, the extra to be in the garage, even though I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks? Should I pay it? But I don't want to shovel off the set. And I'm like, no, I decided it's going to be worth it. I'm going to pay the extra however much a day just so I could be in the garage and close and covered and So then I pulled the car in, and the only part of the garage that was open was the top. And I was like, ah! So now I'm paying the extra anyway, then I got up to the top and it said you're not paying the full amount, but it still, you know, kind of defeats the whole purpose. And then I swear to God, the next day, people in Rochester were posting pictures of the 3 feet of snow that fell overnight. So I have no idea if my car looks like an igloo. I don't know what's going on. I'm trying not to think about it.
You're probably better off just Ubering for the rest of the winter when you're in New York. Yes. And then getting the car in the spring.
I think so. It's time to put the car in storage.
So you were recently at the annual NAEYC conference.
I was.
What happened? Let's unpack that for.
The thing I mostly wanted to unpack, and I think it might be more acknowledging where I am or where I've arrived in my NAEYC kind of experience. I used to go. Well, I've always gone. I go every year unless I had a gig. A paid gig, you know, because they don't pay you. As a FYI, and a lot of people don't realize that, but when you go to see the speakers at NAYC, none of them are being paid, just as a sidebar. But anyway, so I've always gone, and I go to all the sessions, and that's just my MO, and I would take notes, and I'd post them, and I'd, that's how I conference, right? Mm-hmm. That was my MO. And I have found over the last, probably for the last 5 years, the number of workshops that I specifically attend have gone down, but my number and amount of professional and personal networking has increased. And I think this was the very first year that I was aware of the fact that I wasn't like guilt tripping myself about that, if that makes sense. I used to have that horrible, for me, it's horrible. This is where I turn into Hermione. Where it's like, you're cutting class. This is what you're here to do. You should be cutting class. And I know back in the day, that was kind of our impetus for, you know, the idea behind the original UNCON events was that we realized that the conversations that were often happening between sessions were the ones that became more relevant or more timely for us. And I guess maybe it's just kind of a public reminder that, one, it's okay if you don't go to every session, whether that means you're grabbing lunch with a new friend or an old friend or a nap, for crying out loud. Those things can be exhausting. That self-care is still allowed at a professional development event. And I don't know. I wanted to see if this springboarded into something or if it's just kind of that's what needed to be said. But I wanted to make that comment about the actual sessions. And the other comment I wanted to make was that this year, I know you might have fun unpacking this, Jeff. So I always go through the vendor hall, and I will totally own that I go through it looking for, you know, who do I get to publicly shame this year for, mm-hmm. you know, whatever reason. And I was not, nobody took me by surprise this year. And I actually chatted with a friend while we were there about what I'm about to tell you. And I said, I don't know if I've unfortunately like acclimated, you know, to some of the horribleness that's in there. And it's like, oh, well, there they are again. And fine, they're still there. And they're going to always be there because they give a lot of money to the conference. But there was nothing new to the yuckness, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no
higher level of bullshit. Maybe we're at a maintaining level. Maybe at this juncture, I might say. What I was sad to notice was that there've always been like a handful of what I call the bright lights among the commercialism in there. Mm-hmm. And what saddened me was that every year one more goes away. You know, one more goes away. And this year another one was not there, and it's just like, ah, shoot, you know, like we keep gobbling up the ones that in my belief should be there. And I did make a comment to somebody that I would love to at some point have an event where you don't have to have that asterisk of, you know, what you see in the vendor hall does not necessarily represent the, you know, views and values and opinions of the sponsoring organization. And you know, I think one day that would be awesome if you didn't need that asterisk.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, I won't set foot in the place ever again because of it's nauseating to walk in to those halls and have an organization that's talking loudly and publicly about one thing and taking money from people that are diametrically almost opposed to that mission and that approach to pay the bills, because it just undermines everything that they preach. And I'd be embarrassed to be associated with the organization. And yet they're using some of that money to produce and preach and share some valuable information. I just think they're doing more and more to shoot themselves in the foot by being associated with some of those products. And I mean, I don't know.
And
we talk about this regularly, so
we do. We talk about this is not like a big aha. And I think at some point I've made peace with the fact that, you know, when it comes, and I'm talking specifically about the vendor hall at that big
mm-hmm.
expo.
Yeah.
I would love to know that some of that stuff wasn't there. Yet at the same time, as a business owner, I'm well aware of the fact that the reason they're there is probably 80% of why the event is even able to happen financially. And yet that event has, I mean, if you want to really dig down deep, that event is why I have my current job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that event is how I've met tons and tons of amazing colleagues who are out there, you know, preaching the preach and fighting the good fight. And I never feel torn. I mean, I'm very intentional and I'm very public with the reason that I maintain my membership to the organization, mostly is so that I am able to get my eyes on some of the policies and position statements, because sometimes that's the only way you are able to have your voice heard and to be able to push back a little bit. So it also kind of keeps me on my toes a little bit with some of my own personal advocacy work, which I think is important. There is some new DAP policy statements coming out, and again, I wouldn't have known that if I hadn't had my, you know, ear to the ground, so to speak. And so a lot of the play policy and practice people are like, let's make sure that the word play is included, you know, in all of this.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
is it the same event as it was when you got started, though?
Well, that's kind of a tricky question, because And the reason I'll say that is because you grow and change as a practitioner.
Yeah.
You know, when I very first went there, I mean, and we've sidebar discussion. I'm not going off on a tangent. I'm not losing my train of thought, but it's a sidebar. Is we realized it at Indiana AEYC conference last year. Me and another more seasoned colleague, we said, wouldn't it be interesting to do a quick blog post or even a podcast on the evolution of how you interact with the vendor hall? You know, that very first year, they're giving away free shit. You're filling up bags. You go home weighted down with a bunch of stuff that you probably didn't even look twice at, but it was free, so you took it. And then how the next year maybe you don't take as much, and then the next year and now I'm at the point how many years later where, you know, they're trying to pawn off free shit on me, and I'm like, no thanks, and they're like, well, but it's free, and I'm like, I don't need it and I don't want it. And like, I had one guy like get in front of me this year and was like, so this means you don't like having a good time? And I'm like, no, it just means I don't want to be a part of this. I'm walking through the vendor hall to see what's here. Just because I'm here does not imply any kind of willingness to be on the receiving end of what you're doing. And I found that interesting. So anyway, to circle back, I think the evolution of why you go to conferences, it also changes and evolves. So to say that the event is not the same, I don't know. I think I grow. You know, I don't need to go to some of those workshops anymore for 99 different variable reasons, you know. But I do need to have time with colleagues and friends who are out there joining boards and getting, you know, insight into, you know, other topics under the umbrella of ECE that maybe I don't necessarily have my finger on the pulse on. So what I need from the event has changed. Mm-hmm. And I think this was the first year that I was not, you know, I was allowing myself to get 100% of what I needed without being like, oh no, I didn't get to a session today. You know, like it was cool because I got what I needed regardless.
Yeah. And I mean, those big conferences, not just that one, but all big, huge conferences, oh, even the smaller ones, are in direct competition with the internet now, too. I mean, it used to be you needed to go to some of those to experience the vendor hall, because that was the only way you saw stuff. I mean, you get a couple catalogs in the mail, and you go to a big conference and you walk through. But now, I mean, every fucking thing is on Amazon or someplace else online. And as far as being exposed to speakers and ideas, there are so many different pathways to that stuff, podcasts for one, that the live in-person events, especially the bigger ones, I think, just don't have the impact that they used to on those kinds of things. I totally agree about the human-to-human connection bit of it. And I don't think that'll ever change. You can't. It's very difficult to replicate that online.
And it still is a place for me. I mean, and I'll own this as the business owner. It is still a very valid platform for people to see that I'm still out there doing that work.
Uh-huh.
And
absolutely,
and that's why I continue to go. That's why it's worth the investment, because it is an investment into, you know, going out and being on the road doing gigs, whether they're other big conferences or small ones or whatever. So they're you know, I would be lying to say that marketing component wasn't a part of
that. Oh yeah, that's well worth the time and resources. Any sessions you heard about, any trends you were seeing, any other insights or bits of gossip or anything that...
Bits of gossip, yeah.
we probably have to stop recording to talk about that, huh?
Right. Yeah, no, more the nature schools, that's definitely a hot topic right now. I think DAP, Developmentally Appropriate Practices, circling back in because they are looking to either redo the book or redo a formal position statement on that.
Mm-hmm.
The play policy and practice group is, you know, very vocal about collaborating with other play oriented groups, you know, to make sure that the word PLAY, which, you know, in some circles still is a dirty word. I mean, I wish we would kind of grow out of that, but, you know, there's some pockets of our industry where that is still true, and you know, so, somebody brought up again how if you call it something else, you know, if you give it a sexier sounding name, and are we at a point where we need to stop joking about that and actually start calling it, you know, something else to get the attention? And that's not necessarily a trend. I mean, that's been kind of going on, unfortunately, you know, for a long time. I was honored with an award from the Play Policy and Practice Group, which was very unexpected. So that was kind of cool. I got a plaque for my office.
Where is it hung up?
Huh?
Did you hang it up already? Got a spotlight shining
on it? I haven't been
in your office yet.
Right? Maybe I should leave it here at Pablo's house. So
yeah, so he remembers.
So he remembers that I got an award.
So go back to the Who Wants to Rename Play?
Not rename play, just talking about. And I'm going to get it wrong. That's why I didn't throw it down here, because we're recording it. I don't remember who it was. It's in my notes, but they said if we call it ludic, right, the old name, if we call it ludic practice or ludic understanding or ludic exploration or something like that. And maybe, you know, it's like the old saying, if we call it science, you know, what do I need to call it in order for the naysayers to see that it's credible? And I don't know, man, I'm so sick of having spent...
Whoever said that, I think they're a douche.
Oh, stop.
No, I mean, that's ludicrous. That's some academic douchebag right there. I'm sure they're a nice person and delightful and don't kick the cat, but
I think he might be dead. So the guy who said it originally. But
well,
anyway.
Okay. Well, there. Good.
Oh, sir.
I mean,
but I realize that it continues to boggle my mind. I mean, I don't know how many more books we need to write. I don't know how many more podcasts we need to, I don't know when we're going to crack through the entire ceiling, you know, and I think, well, this time of the year, right? So we're recording right now in November. I don't have any more gigs. I mean, Thanksgiving was just yesterday. I don't have any more gigs now until January. And this is historically the time when I kind of pull back and reframe and you know, it's my time to look inward and make sure that we're still doing as a company. Are we still aligned with our goals and our objectives and our mission statement? And what do we need to tweak for next season? And what research has come down the pike that I need to be more mindful of bringing in? Are there any workshops that need to be shelved for a while? I mean, this is when I do that, and I do it very intentionally every single year. And I think it's coming at a good time, because I find myself occasionally getting quite frustrated with banging my head against the wall occasionally. And I realize we're preaching to the choir. And I said that at one of our after hour gatherings, that we're preaching to the choir, and I'm sick of sometimes it's always preaching to the choir. What about the people? Where are the others? And she said, yes, but even the choir needs to rehearse. And I liked that. I like that. Yes, it might be preaching to the choir, and everybody who listens to the podcast and probably most of the people who come to our session have already, let's be real, drank the Kool-Aid. And so my intention is hoping that, you know, they do something bigger or something deeper or something a little stronger or something a little bit more direct after they walk out of the building. Yet at the same time, it's like, dang, when are we just going to accept that play is so important and stop defending it? And does it really need to still be defended? Does it need to be reframed? And this circles back, I think, Jeff, to one of the conversations about, you know, what did you call it? What was that word? The play qualifiers, meaningful mm-hmm. play, deep play, you know, reflectful play. Like, why can't we just say play?
Well, because the powers of darkness in our educational system are diametrically opposed to that, because actual play and child-led learning leads to independent thought and creativity, and we have a system that doesn't really want that, Lisa Murphy. So it's gonna.
I think it also going back to just the vendor hall concept. I mean, if we actually started believing and trusting that the people in this profession were mature enough and responsible and professional enough and knowledgeable enough to set up and design their own programs, we wouldn't need 90% of what's being sold in those vendor halls.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And,
you know, so it's a money thing, I would argue, as well.
You know, this another topic I wanted to talk about, this is kind of a lead into that, and maybe it's time to wrap this up and go into that one, because I've got some thoughts about early learning and D-Day. So that would kind of lead in that direction. So maybe that should be the next
D-Day
episode.
D-Day?
Yeah, D-Day.
You mean like
June 6th, 1944. Yeah, D-Day.
Okay.
And early learning.
Well, that will...
So there's a tease for you.
There's a tease. And so let's wrap this up and jump right into that.
Hey, so we'll be back next episode, and I'm gonna lay out my thinking on D-Day and early learning, and it kind of ties into what Lisa was just talking about. So we'll be back. Maybe you'll join us for that. Maybe you won't. Unless you're not a fan of D-Day and the liberation of Europe, but you know. Each to their own, I guess. Hey, thanks for listening. Thanks for tuning into the show. Go to ooeygooey.com and check out Lisa Murphy if you need more Lisa Murphy stuff. And on the YouTube and every place, you search Ooey Gooey Lady and you'll find her all over the interwebs. You're looking for me, go to Explorations Early Learning and eeltoys.com if you're buying Christmas presents. Then that's shit that wouldn't be in the vendor hall. Well, it might be in the vendor hall, but I don't go there. Anyway, check out our websites. Bye. Back soon.
Bye.
And this has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.